Blog Talk Radio.
Sinners, get ready.
What you gonna do?
The Lord is doing
what you're gonna do.
What you gonna do?
You better get your heart in order.
What you gonna do?
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 You are tuned into Block Talk Radio. Your program is the Old Ship of Zion. Your host is Overseer Janice Ward. I am so delighted to be able to come across these skyways and airways again on tonight, bringing unto you the divine word of truth. I hope and I pray that all was well in your family circle today and all continually to be well with you and yours. Hallelujah. I just thank you for allowing me into your work area. I thank you for allowing me into your living room space. Then I want to thank you for allowing me to ride on down the dangerous highway and byway with the Old Ship of Zion on your radio dial. I just thank all of my loyal and faithful listeners out there that has been a faithful listener from its early beginning. And for doing so, God has a blessing. This is not just me talking, but this is true. As I am sitting here talking to you at this moment, God is going to bless you, your patron of this program. God said he blesses a cheerful giver. And it don't always have to be monetary. It can be of your time and your talent, whatever gifts that you want to render unto God. But I am just want to encourage you on tonight that God sees you and he knows. And as a matter of fact, he's writing it down in the Lamb Book of Life. So I just want you to know that you will not go unnoticed by God. God will bless you. Hallelujah. And I just want to take this time right now, I want to take this podium, I want to take this stage to send condolences out to those of you that have lost loved ones in the last 72 hours, the last 48 hours, the last 24 hours, the last 8 hours, the last 4 hours, the last hour ago. Seconds ago. We want you to know that you are not alone in your hour of bereavement. We, as children of Christ, we are in bereavement right along with you. God said we ought to cry together. So we ought to cry in your time of sorrow and in your time of gladness. We ought to rejoice. So we just want to encourage your heart on tonight. Let you know, hallelujah, that God has men's and women's, young adults alike, that are praying with you and for you, that God will bring about restoration for yourself. And I want to also send condolences out to those that was injured, and it was two tragic lives that were lost in the Greyhound tragedy on today, coming out of Los Angeles, headed to San Jose, California. And so we just want to send condolences out to those of you that had friends and family members that was part of that tragic that happened on today. All right, we're going to now go on in to our intro prayer. And we don't come across these skyways and airways without acknowledging our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is a native of Nazareth, yet born in Bethlehem. He is our soon coming Messiah. Hallelujah. And he's the one that made all this possible. So we want to take this stage right now. I'm asking all of my listeners out there, my friends, my kinship family, my constituents, and all the body of Christ to bow your heads, if you will, please, sir, please, ma'am, and allow us to go down in prayer and acknowledging the Lord at this time. Hallelujah. Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank you, O gracious Heavenly Father, for enabling us to unite once again, God, around the spectrum. For we know that this earthly soil that we're treading on, God, is not our eternal home. We know that you have lying in waiting, God, a home that's not built by mortal man. But you are the creator and you are the architect. But until you crack those clouds one historical day, God, we will continue to mount up, God, before the four corners of this earth. From the north, south, east, and west, as pilgrims through this barren land. I'm asking you on this evening, God, to anoint these lips of clay, God. Able me, hallelujah, to bring a rhema word to those that may, then again, may not know of you in the pardons of their iniquity. Grace me, your servant, God. Hallelujah, with words of wisdom, words of encouragement to those that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their souls, Father God. We'd be so mindful to give your name all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Hallelujah, Jesus. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, matchless name. And we will allow the assembly of God to say amen and amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. And I just thank those of you that so kindly tuned in on this evening, hallelujah. And I just thank you from the depths of my very soul. And I just thank God, because if it was not your attendance, it wouldn't be any need for Overseer Ward to be here. But because God has people like yourself that want to hear the divine and the true word of God, that you are listening. Hallelujah, Jesus. And so I just thank you once again. And may God richly bless you. Hallelujah. And so we're going to go on into our live program. I will be with you 1 hour. We are now 19 seconds into our program. So we're going to take you right now on into a live program that's already in progression. After the conclusion of this program, hallelujah, you are invited to call in and talk live with the host. But that will be at the conclusion of this program, please. And so I want you to get out your digital devices. I want you to come close, and this is going to be close and personal on tonight. I want you to get all your digital devices. I want you to come aboard with your tablet, your laptop, your iPhone, and all your digital toys, and bring them aboard, because we are in need of them on tonight. So we're going to now read our first key scripture on tonight, and it reads this: conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. And that scripture reading is coming out of the law, 1 Peter 1:17. And our sermon on tonight entitled Who's Reading You? I want to say that one more time. Look who's reading you. That's our tonight's sermon. And so we're going to go and we're going to read our second key scripture for tonight. And it reads like this. I pray that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Ephesians 3 and 16. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that likewise, when the adversity and hardship come upon you and I, it comes into our lives, we know that in order to stay on a path, in other words, the path of righteousness, you and I must be empowered from within, or you and I will be unable to withstand the pressures from without. We know that we can get solid support from loved ones and our Christian friends, but it is our spiritual inner man that needs strengthening. And it needs strengthening not from our peers and our friends, but we must be strengthened through God himself, from God's might, through his spirit. And you can read right back through the law of Ephesians 3 and 16. And that's what sustains you and I. And it keeps you and I from crumbling. Hallelujah. We know that the Holy Spirit works to strengthen you and I and us. And it renew our mind. And we can read the Bible and we can pray and we can fast and meet God's face. But if we neglect the scripture, if you and I seldom talk with the Lord, and we stop fellowshipping with other believers, then you and I will grow weak and we can become vulnerable. Then you and I will be unable to withstand the pressures of temptation or even troubles that we encounter in our private lives. So it will help you and I to ask the Lord to develop in you and I that inner strength, so that when life blows and burdens press upon you and I, we will not cave in. We can pray this prayer. Help us, O Lord, when trouble comes, to trust your word and not succumb. And help us not to turn aside, but in your strength and love, you and I can abide. We know that the power of Christ within you and I is greater than the pressures of trouble around you and I. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. And I know that a judge who used his bumper sticker to encourage better driving, he gave two options to people that was guilty while driving intoxicated. His first option was to attach this message to their bumper. And he said that this car owned by a convicted drunk driver. And we are told that all the offenders preferred the judge's second opinion. And it was to enroll in an alcohol treatment program. And we are told that the majority of people cared about what others thought of them and wanted to maintain a good image. We know that the fear of embarrassment, hallelujah, applies to other kinds of unacceptable behavior as well. For example, not many of us, speaking of you and I, would be willing to walk around with a sign on our backs that read something like this: danger. I am a Christian who doesn't spend time in prayer or Bible study. Nor would we want to wear a sign that read, warning. I am a child of God who gossip too much. Or be careful, I am controlled by lust rather than love. If God requires to display such a sign, would our desire be for the respect of others from revealing our true spiritual condition? We know that the way we answer that question say a lot about our sense of shame before the Lord. We know that God always judges you and I correctly. We read in the law of 1 Peter 1 and 17. Is it possible that we fear his opinion, mean other folks' opinion, more than we would fear the opinions of God? Hallelujah. Now, I would say it matters not what others say about me. It shouldn't matter to you what others say about you. Because if they talked about God, we are only micro dots. If they talked about God who knew any sin, neither was a guile found in his mind. Who is you and I for someone to talk about? So it matters not what others say in ridicule or even fun. I want to live my life. You should want to live your life that you might hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. That is approval that you and I should be concerned about. Live for God's approval rather than man's approval. Because in the end, you will be standing before the judgment seat of God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. Hallelujah. And we are also reminded that we know that, hallelujah, Paul challenged us to think of ourselves as living stones. To be a living stone is an oxymoron. Hallelujah. It's a contradiction in terms. Because it grouped together for emphasis, stones are non-living matters. They are merely compressed earth. And if the material of stones is not living, how then can we be living stones? We know that God's plan is that those who are called Christians will become God's living stones. This means that the nature of Jesus Christ would be so firmly embedded in you and I that the world, hallelujah, would walk holy and live separately, and that we would be so engrossed and so carved God upon our heart. That we would not allow, hallelujah, we would not allow the lust of the flesh to come even into place. We would be living stones for God. And we know that we would just eat the word of God. We would eat the word so, hallelujah, until the world would say, I want to live like that. I want to be that kind of person. Even the dope dealer would say, there is a better high. The sick would say, there is a better deliverance. The oppressed would say, I know that God will deliver. God will deliver the oppressed. God do not want us to be walking around in a depression, because we know that God brings about joy and peace and contentment. That's what God's word is all about. And so we know that the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, if we allow it, it can take the impure and the useless matters out of yours and mine and our lives. Mold us into stones, which then become markers for the world. Just as the Israelites, they left stones in the midst of the Jordan River as a sign of their crossing into the promised land. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord. And we know that as living stones, we will leave markers of faith and works. And that will indicate that Jesus is alive and moving in and through us. We know that God desires for you and I that our faith be so vibrant and so sinless and pure that the world would look at God's living stone and say that I want to be saved. I want to be delivered from whatever that have you bound. I want God to take up residence in my life. We know that the vibrancy of our life should tell the drug user there is a better high in Jesus. Hallelujah. It will tell the hopeless that there is hope. It would tell the sick that there is healing. And it would tell the weary that there is rest. We know that stones are used for building because they are strong and durable. So let you and I finish his perfect work in us. That we submit ourselves to Jesus Christ as we walk in obedience and become God's living stone. God can build you and I up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice. Hallelujah, acceptable and holy unto God by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. And we know that in this society in which we live, people are looking at everything that you say, may it be vocal or may it be in digital writing. People are looking and they are trying to seize the moment to catch you slipping, even in tongue or even in character. So we're talking about tonight. The sermon is, look who's reading you. So we know that when you are on the web, it's like the world is reading you. They're either reading you correctly or they're reading you incorrectly. So that's what our theme is on tonight. It says, look who's reading you. And people can either look at you two ways. Is that you're hypocritical? You know? Or, you know, you're judgmental. So we don't really want to be neither one. We don't want to be judgmental. And we don't want people to think critical of us because everything that we do and say, we want it to be, you know, in the love of Christ. Now, you can state a comment or make a comment without being judgmental. You're not, as long as, you know, you're not just degrading people or, you know, I would think that one have their opinion, you know, and you can agree to disagree. But, you know, Jesus had that same thing he encountered. So, you know, as children of God, we're going to be, you know, judged. We're going to be criticized, whatever you do, may it be good or bad. It's going to be always somebody's going to find fault in you. But I'm just saying, you know, to keep yourself in the will of God. By praying and fasting and seeking God's face, you know, and that will keep us from lusting after someone else's husband. He's already taken. So why would you be lusting after someone else's husband? When we serve a God that will give you your own self-husband, God will give you your own self-wife, and therefore you will not have to be lusting after Mr. Jones' wife. God will give you a wife for yourself, for your own desire, for you can look upon. So when we keep our mind on God through praying and fasting and reading the word of God, it keeps us out of the lion's den. We won't desire to go and say, well, you know, I don't think God would mind if I had a beer. I don't think God would mind if I go get me a little bottle of whiskey. He knows, you know, that I'm still hooked on this alcohol. But see, when God cleaned you and I up out of the world of sin, out of the miry clay, God did not half clean you and I up. God do not do a half done job at anything that he does. So, you know, either you delivered or you're not delivered. Because when you're delivered from sin, whatever sin that you have, been forgiven of, because we all have sinned and we continue to sin every day. Because even if your mind is in the wrong place, you're sinning. You don't have to say a word. But if your mind is in the wrong place, you desire to be at a titty bar, strip bar, you know, a club, Jew joint, somewhere that, you know, we have no place of being, then you are not fully delivered. And that means that your mind is still wandering around in the world, want to do worldly things. You can't have one foot in the world and one foot over in God. It does not work that way. You're either all the way into God or you're all the way out. One individual asked me that I believe that God was born on Christmas. I told him I was not going to argue the Bible because the Bible speaks for itself. To not believe what the Bible says about the birth of God will say that, in other words, the Bible is a lie. How can I say I believe one part of the Bible, but I don't believe that, you know, God was born on Christmas? So have I got it twisted in all these years? You know, what is it? But I told the individuals that I was not going to debate the word of God. He says, well, I said, but you know, what you need to do is ask God to help your unbelief. He said, well, I believe this scripture here, you know, that says this and this and this, but I don't believe this right here, you know. So it's no way that we can believe half of the word of God. We have to come all the way in, or we're not in at all. So I believe the word of God. I believe the word of God from its beginning, and that's Genesis, to its conclusion, and that is Revelation. Believe part of it, but I believe all of it, because it was the mouth of God. There was men of God in that day. God did not have sinners to write the Bible, but God had spiritual-minded men to write out his gospel. So I believe, I think it's 366 books in the Bible. So I believe all 366 books. So like I said, look who's reading you. People are reading you and you don't even know they're reading you. You might have your eye on someone else's, you know, lady friend at church in choir rehearsal. You know, you're looking at somebody else's lady that's engaged to be married, but you want to, you know, get to her before she really, you know, go through with the ceremony. But see, you're out of character. Look who's reading you. Not only is someone else reading you, but God is reading you as well. But when we keep our mind on God, God says that those who keep their mind stayed on me, God will keep you out of, prong magazine. You know, you over there lusting after some 8-year-old child. You know, and that's not of God. But see, if you stay prayed up and prayerful and you're reading God's word, you won't even have a desire for those things. God will keep you. You say, well, Overseer, what? I'm not married. You know, I haven't had a woman in 5 years, 6 months. You know, I lost my wife in 6 months and I haven't had a woman. Then a woman might say, I lost my husband, just 30 days ago. And, I need me a man. But, God can keep you. But it's only if you want to be kept. God is not going to drag us by our toupee, by our ponytail, by our wig. God is not going to drag us anywhere. But if we want to be kept, you ask God to keep you. God will keep you from slipping and tipping if you ask him to. Only if you ask him by invitation, God will keep you. He said, I will keep those whose mind is stayed on me in perfect peace. And I know my time is rapidly moving away. So I'm going to try to move on as quickly as I possibly can, because I want to bring you a little hymns of Zion if time permits. But I know God's word come priority. So I want to, try to speed it up if I can. But like I said, just look who's reading you. So we should conduct ourselves throughout this time that we're allowed here on planet Earth in a way that sets us apart from the world. That's all I'm trying to say. Because like I said, even if you think wrong, then that's the thing. So whether we have laid hands on anybody, I haven't fought anybody, I haven't pulled a knife, hadn't pulled a weapon on anyone, I haven't said profanity to anyone. But if you're thinking, anything that's not holy, then we've sinned already, But you can rectify that by going right then and there and say, Lord, I'm sorry, for allowing that to enter into my mind. Please forgive me. And it's a done deal, God don't hold that against us because he knows that we're human, but we have to stay grounded and molded in the word of God. That's what is going to keep you in. Keeping our mind stayed on him. Not saying that we can't go out and have fun. We can't go out to dinner. We can't go, on a cruise or go on, whatever your hobbies might be. Long as they are within reason. God is not taking away, your recreational fun. But what I'm saying is that look who's reading you. So we should, the time that God has allowed us here on planet Earth, the time that we're here, is to fear God. Amongst all else, fear God. So I'm going to move right along because, like I said, I know time is of an essence. And so we know that in a society that is struggling for equality of the sexes. We read it a lot, 1 Peter 3:1-12. And it might seem obsolete at the first glance, but on a closer study, however, the passage seems a natural continuation of the teaching of the New Testament. The church on the power of love to bring God's people together. The Bible tells us that the wives and the husbands are the urge to love and respect each other. The wives are urged to submit, to recognize the husband's role as head of the house. The wife is urged to live a pure and relevant life as a means of winning her husband to a salvation and a saving relationship with Christ Jesus. We are told that the husband are admonished to be concerned of and throughout toward their wives and to give honor to them. We said that this teaching does not suggest that one partner or another possess inferior or superior status, but it does stress that husband and wives should serve one another with love and humility. We are told that the Christian family are urged to have compassion one to another. Love as brothers, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil. That scripture reading is coming out of law of 1 Peter 3:8-9. These are the words of refreshing, gentleness, and flexibility in a world where all too often people seek revenge and retaliation. We know that a significant difference can be made in our society if members of families would determine to begin to practice forgiveness, practice, hallelujah, reconciliation, and love one for another, rather than carrying on practice of abuse and denominations and retaliation. Hallelujah. We can pray that God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have deepened our love for each other. We praise you for all the love of our home and our family. Help us to practice love instead of hatred, to reconcile rather than retaliate, to exemplify that all is, hallelujah, Christ-like in our homes through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And this will be our final reading. And we know that, hallelujah, Jesus, among the songs of our heritage, as people of color in this country, a spiritual that exhorts and keep our hands on the plow to hold on. Peter asked the believers to do just that in the passage. He writes words of encouragement and exhortation to the elders and to the young men, all of whom are part of the body of Christ, who shares a common adversary, and that is the devil. Peter called attention to the reality that the ruthlessness of the enemy, to be sober, hallelujah, to be diligent, because your adversary, which is the devil, he comes as a roaring lion, walking about and seeking whom he may devour. Hallelujah. And so God says that we are to resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. That scripture reading is coming out of law, 1 Peter 5:8-9. Hallelujah. And we know that in everyone's life at some point, the forecast will call for stormy weather. One is either a storm coming out of a storm or heading into a storm. But at some point, we know that stormy weather will be in everyone's forecast. We know that the devil, whom is our adversary, he seeks to use a storm to come between God and his children, and would succeed more often were it not for sincere followers of Jesus Christ. So we are told to steadfast in the faith. We know that stormy weather is inevitable. We know that the onslaught of the adversary will occur as long as we seek to be faithful to the Lord with humble sobriety, insightfulness, vigilant, Christian in unity. And we know that in our unfailing trust in our Lord, we can indeed keep on keeping on. Even possess the power to plow. We can sing in the words of one of the songs of our struggle. Don't you let nobody turn you around. Keep on walking and keep on marching. Hallelujah. And we can pray once again. God, enable me to possess the faith and trust to hold your hand and the hands of my brothers and my sisters in Christ. Empower me to let nothing come between you and me, and that which you would have me to do. In the name of Jesus, I pray. We can overcome the devil in Jesus' name. Amen. And in ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to my nature, spirit, and infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions you'd want the old Triple Zion to go down and pray on your behalf, you're most certainly encouraged in your correspondence, God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. This program has been brought to you by Altaria. This program is the old Triple Zion, sending correspondence, make them attend you over the Jazz Ward. PO 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. Our web address is www.janicewardmusic.org. We want to now turn this final portion of this program over to Him Zion to uplift your spirit and encourage your heart. When we meet across these skyways and airways, you are encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. Bye for now. Up next, Hymns of Zion. Thank you.
Thank you.